Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're just having a little technical where it is. We'll be right back.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I am determined today to begin a series on unearthing the truth. I mean, like a gold miner going into the side of mountains and under rivers. I am determined by the grace of God to get into a study on unearthing this revelation of what the mark of the beast is. And I have a thirst for it. I have a desire, and yet I know that my accomplishment in life, the success of God in my life, is not about this, but I have a Berean spirit in me, and I hope you do too. And obviously there's been a tremendous amount of research on the issue of the mark of the beast, but I believe that the Holy Spirit's about to unveil some things. I believe that the Holy Spirit is about to reveal, and he's doing everything in his power to conceal this mark until the very end so that he could catch people off guard. But I believe that Father God wants to impart, desires to reveal to his people that are following him, predominantly those who are determined not to take the mark of this beast, okay? So I want to understand what it is. I want to go for it. And I hope that you're ready for a Book of Revelation Bible study, which, by the way, is simply the ocean of the other 65 books of the Bible. There are 66 books in our Bible. 65 of them are rivers and streams that flow into the ocean of the Book of Revelation, for the end is revealed from the beginning. So I'm confident that the last book, the Book of Revelation, has all of its meaning in the beginning, in the book of Genesis and all the way through. And I'm just going to determine to do it. I want to know, because I can't think of anything more important other than building up the body of Christ, making sure that our character and conduct is intact, that we are being conformed into the image of the firstborn son, that we're putting off the old man, putting on the new man. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That we are partakers of the divine nature. That there is a new nature within us with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we are operating, living, walking in that character, that fruit. That is the most important thing, because therein is the bride revealed. The bride of Christ. a woman without spot or wrinkle, a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It is time to magnify, to manifest, to outray, and put on display the glory of God in you. For Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the revelation of all revelations. Finding out what this number of the beast is a secondary thing, but it's important that we study it out. So, again, we know that this is not an easy journey, being a Christian. If anybody thinks that being a Christian is for weak people that need a crutch, they are just foolishly blinded and ignorant. To be a real Christian in this world today displays the very power of God in nature, because there's nothing more powerful. In other words, it's easier to create the sun, moon, and stars. It's easier to create mountains and oceans than to turn the nature of man from a fallen nature of Adamic human race into the divine nature of the firstborn son. That is the biggest, most aggressive power, because God can speak to anything and change it and make it what he wants. But when it comes to the human being, it requires the will. It gets involved. It's detailed. It's wooing. It is persuasion of the Holy Spirit convincing us that this is the journey we desire to take. And there's a rebellion within the human nature of man. There's a carnal mind that hates God, cannot obey God, according to Romans chapter 8. There is an unruly flesh, an unruly tongue. There is an unruly nature that is resistant. It'll go so far, but it wants to stay in control. That's why the cross is the most powerful message on the face of this earth. Now, having said all of that, I just want you to know that we understand the most important thing is our nature, the conduct, Christ, the divine nature in us, where we become like Jesus in nature, whether you're a male or a female, right? It's in our nature that we become like him, because the nature he displayed was not a male ego and it was not a female spirit. He displayed the nature of God. He was the express image of the Father, right? He's the express image of the Father. And the Bible tells us that you and I are being conformed into his image. And if he's the express image of the Father and we're being conformed into his image, well, folks, that is the nature, not in the deity and the power and the authority of God. You know, Shirley MacLaine out on a limb, you know, we are God. That's baloney. But the nature, and that is amazing power to shift or change nature. In fact, someone said you cannot change the spots of a leopard or the stripes of a zebra. In other words, I've been told so many times throughout my life through many well-intended Christian people, you can't change the nature of man. You can't do it. Well, I can't do it. You can't do it. Philosophy can't do it. Religion can't do it. But the Spirit of God can do it. The Spirit of God can change. And so understanding the undertaking of such a transformation, you should never get discouraged. You should never give up. You should never quit. You should never throw in the towel, because it's not you doing it, but there is sometimes a resistance within us against the very purpose of God. Don't be dismayed by that. God knows all about it. But your genuine inward affection and love for God and your willingness to keep going on until the death comes. Now, remember, the survivalist nature of Adam is in full bloom, okay? That's what he's been doing ever since he fell. He hid behind leaves. He got into survival mode, and the Adamic human race has been in survival mode ever since, and he's not known life, peace, and rest. But in Christ, we are navigating, and we are integrating, and we are migrating into the realm of rest and peace, no longer struggling to survive, because everything that we are is in Christ Jesus. And I do want to continue with that understanding. But what I want to do today is I want to get us to start thinking, if we're willing, about this beast and his mark. Okay, now we've touched on this. We've gone through this. But I just can't get it out of my spirit. It's been there for a while now. And I want to begin to release who or what is the beast. And I want to go back and just consider a few things, and let's see if we can get somewhere. And I'll just be right up front with you, okay? Well, let's just go to Revelation chapter 13. Let's start there, the most familiar passage, right? And here it is, Revelation chapter 13. I sure do hope that you have a listening ear, an open heart, maybe even a pad of paper, a pen, pencil, something. Yes, this will be recorded. You can go back and listen to it. But you know what? There's nothing like getting your outline notes and then digging into the scriptures yourself, because we're going to be like miners right now. We're going to go mine the gold. We're going to go dig out the diamonds. We're going to go seek the pearls of the hidden mysteries of the Word of God. And I love doing this. This is my thirst, my desire. I love this. And now it's more than just finding answers to things. It is in the realm of desperation, because this is coming quickly. It may be already here. We have got to understand what these scriptures mean. And here's what Revelation 13:1 says. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. All right, so there's Revelation 13, a singular beast. Okay, I saw a singular beast. And where did it rise up out of? I saw it rise out of, up out, rise up out of the sea. What is that sea? Well, most of us believe that what John is seeing is in the spirit. And when he's standing on the sand of the sea, most likely on the island of Patmos or in the spirit somewhere, he's seeing the sea of humanity, which agrees with Daniel chapter 7. Out of the sea, in Daniel's vision, he saw four great beasts rise up out of the sea. Okay? And Revelation, I want you to notice something here a little bit different than in Daniel, okay? In Daniel's vision, if you'll remember, Daniel chapter 7, I saw four great beasts rise up out of the sea, and the four winds were blowing upon the sea, and those represented political and social agitations. Revelation chapter 13 again, he sees a beast rising up, and here's what it looks like. It has seven heads and 10 horns. And that's going to be really the beginning of our pursuit here to understand who or what this beast is. We now have some description of this beast, that he has seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his 10 horns, or upon his horns, were 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, I want to stop right there and let's concentrate about a singular beast that has seven heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns upon its horns. Now, to get some understanding from the Bible, we go over to Revelation chapter 17. And here is a most phenomenal description of this beast. And the first part of Revelation chapter 17 describes another issue that we need to go deep involved with, which is Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So in the very first part of Revelation 17, John is seeing the great whore, Mystery Babylon the Great, and she's all decked out, and there's a whole description of her. But where is she? She is riding a scarlet-colored beast. She's riding a scarlet-colored beast. And that beast has the same description as the beast of Revelation chapter 13. And I'll just read verse 3 of Revelation 17, says this. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. That's what we just saw in Revelation 13, having seven heads, that's Revelation 13, and 10 horns. Okay, so the beast of Revelation 17 is the beast of Revelation 13, But in 17, it's clarified that mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, is literally sitting on this beast or riding this beast. So what is this beast? Well, if we look at verse 7, let's go down to verse 7. The angel said unto me, wherefore did you marvel? And it's a question mark to John, because when John saw this mystery Babylon, he marveled. He said, and then the angel said, I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and 10 horns. Now notice that the beast is carrying the woman. She's sitting upon it. She's riding it. And now the angel's going to tell John, I'm going to tell you the mystery. Here it is. The beast that you saw, verse 8, the beast that you saw, John, in your vision back in Revelation 13, the vision you've just seen here in Revelation 17, if you put chapters in it, the beast that you saw was, in other words, it once existed, it is, and is not, something happened to it, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. All right, so there's a beast that was, that is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. It's going back to Revelation 13. This is exactly the wording in Revelation 13. The whole world will wonder after the beast, right? It says, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, just quickly, just for accuracy's sake, Revelation 13 again, it says in verse 8, and all, this is Revelation 13, 8 now, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And back to Revelation 17, the same language. It says again in verse 8, in Revelation 17, the beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So in Revelation 17, John's getting a download of information and revelation about who this beast is that he saw in Revelation chapter 13 as well. Okay? So it appears to be that way, very clear. Verse 9 says this of Revelation 17. Here is the mind, and I do pray, Holy Spirit, for your wisdom right now. I pray, Holy Spirit, for just invade our hearts and minds with revelation and truth in Jesus' name as we're just seeking to peer into what you have written. Verse 9, Revelation 17, and here is the mind which has wisdom. Now, that's a very interesting statement, because we're told the same thing back in Revelation chapter 13 again about this mind that has wisdom. And in verse 18, for example, of Revelation 13, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So again, let him who has what? Let him that has understanding. And then in verse 18 of Revelation 13, here is wisdom. So now back to Revelation 17, verse 9, here is the mind which has wisdom. Here is the mind which has wisdom. In other words, here comes the understanding from the one that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. All right. So we have seven heads of a beast, of the beast. And he said that these seven heads are seven mountains. Now it's very important to really step back and say, okay, what do the mountains represent? Are they actual mountains? Are they the seven hills of Rome or the seven hills in Jerusalem? What are these seven mountains? This is key to everything. And I want you to really start thinking about the largest mountains in the world in which we live, from the Himalayas to Mount Everest to all the largest mountains in the world, the ones that really stand up and stand out, okay? Because the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So we know that the woman sits upon the beast. We know that the beast carries her. And we know now that Mystery Babylon is being carried. She's sitting on seven heads, which are seven mountains. So immediately we have ideas come into our mind. Well, this woman is sitting on the seven mountains. What are they? And that's where the seven hills of Rome come in. That's where people start thinking about the Catholic Church, et cetera, et cetera. But let's go a little deeper. I understand those things. And it may be true, but let's keep going. They may not be true. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now, what are the mountains? Let's go back, hold our place in Revelation 17, and let's take a look at what the mountains represent. And let's go back to Daniel chapter 7. Let the Bible kind of interpret itself. Okay. So we're going to talk about the seven mountains and what they really are. And let's see if I could get myself acclimated here, because what we're going to see in the scriptures is that the seven mountains are kingdoms. They are kingdoms. And so let me pick it up here and see if I could find it this way in verse 11. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. You'll see that in Revelation 19, by the way. That's when the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. That's the burning flame there. Now, verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, I have to go forward here. Father, help me. All right, verse 17, here's where I want to be. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And then it gives you the description of this very powerful kingdom, okay, and this fourth beast. In 23, it says, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. All right, so we have a beast, the fourth one, as a kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another kingdom shall arise after them, or another king shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and wear out the saints of the Most High, and he'll think to change times and seasons, etc., etc. Now, back to Revelation 17, Verse 9. The seven heads are seven mountains. The seven mountains are kingdoms. Okay? The seven heads of the beast. Now, there's a singular beast, right? Let's get this picture straight. There's a singular beast. He has seven heads. The seven heads are seven mountains. The seven mountains represent seven kingdoms or forces of power. Now, here's where I want to start thinking. Okay, I want to start thinking. I'm going to move into this. Just hold. Here we go. So there are seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sits, and there are seven kings. All right, so the seven heads are seven mountains. Kingdoms. There are seven kings. You can't be a king without a kingdom. Five are fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short space. Now, what are the seven kingdoms? And there's a few different ways to look at this. And seven heads of power in the world. But what are those seven heads of power in the world in which we live today? I've heard what someone say that the United States most likely is the most powerful military force on the earth. And yet, the United States of America does not have the military power, the financial power, the resources, or anything else to dominate the entire world. In other words, America can't supply to Russia. America can't supply to China. He cannot dominate those kingdoms, those nations, and all the other Middle Eastern nations and the South American nations. The United States doesn't have enough power to be the world ruler. And we know that the beast is a one world government, right? And it's more than a government. It's got, this beast has seven mountains. And I want to suggest that the seven mountains or the seven kingdoms or the seven places of power are not actual countries like the G7 or anything like that, but that the seven mountains, the seven heads, are the seven systems of the beast. Governmental system, military system, financial system, etc. And our job is going to be to discover the seven systems that are put to use to control the whole world. Okay? And it's very interesting because the seven mountains of power are what is going to control the nations of the earth. In other words, these seven heads of power are not going to be able, or as far as just actual countries, to do what the Bible says. We have to get a picture here that the whole world, everyone on the planet, is going to worship this beast, and they're going to receive the mark of this beast because of the dominion and the power of this beast, which Daniel says is the fourth kingdom, by the way, which agrees with Revelation 13 and 17. So what is this beast? Well, the seven heads, I believe, are seven systems, and there are 10 kings that have crowns. In Revelation 13, the kings have crowns, which means they are reigning. They are ruling. Now, in Revelation 17, that shifts a little bit. Good morning, Patricia. How are you this morning?
I am doing very well this morning.
This is
Thank
one of the
you.
Toughest subjects I've ever done, but
it is,
we're giving it a shot.
Because we're trying very much to break into an area that hasn't yet been provided for us to understand and to know perfectly well, but by the Holy Spirit, I believe we will and we shall. And these concepts and ideas about the one world order, in which I discern is the problem, because it does speak of a one world order where everybody will be under various demands and commands that must be met according to the Luciferian headship. And in that, we are going to witness our position, because there is going to be, and there already has started, persecution with the Christians. But you know, there is a scripture that I just love. I mean, just love. Because I believe when I started the program this morning, I heard again the introduction to the program. And it says, "Sons of God, arise." And if we do not do that, we are going to be positioning ourselves in the most horrible experience that the world has ever known. And so my cry, my heart to all who are listening is to understand who you are in Christ, because for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And we must understand it completely. We must understand it flawlessly because of the times that we're walking into. We're in it already. And I do believe the mark of the beasts. These are the very signs that we're seeing right now. And the mark of the beast is being perpetrated upon mankind quietly and slowly, but is becoming.
Okay, so if we're going to go into this, and again, this is where I'd like to employ the wisdom of our listeners today that would want to get involved in this conversation. And just for the sake of treading very carefully down this particular road of the seven heads of the beast, and considering the possibility that these seven heads are seven systems that will have power to control the whole world, and the whole world will worship this beast system, I've come up with seven, and I want to know if you, Patricia, or others may have some other thoughts about this. But here's how I see it as a general possibility. Certainly not the exhaustive revelation, God saith, that's not the point. But here's what I'm seeing. A world that is a global one-world power, okay, the beast. And the seven heads are the seven systems. One of those systems is government, which means control. Someone's got to control things, government. So we have a one-world government. Number two system, military. That is force employed to a degree, but not alone. Military cannot stand alone. It is a part. It's another system of this power, this beast. It's military. I mean, it has power to kill. Okay, so there's force here. Number three system of the beast, money or resources. Money. Because, again, you can't buy or sell without this mark of the beast. So I see another head of power. Number four, transportation. You know, people love to move around the world. And in order to have transportation, in order to have gasoline, in order to have, you know, travel, in order to move about, there's going to be a part of the system of this beast. He's going to own the services, if you will, the transportation industry. Number five that I come up with is commerce. Now, that may be connected with the next three that I have are actually connected to the money or the resources, but there's a lot of talk about commerce. There's a lot of talk about number five. Number six is trade. A lot of talk about trade today. And number seven, business. So, for example, if I were to consider the seven heads or the seven systems of the beast in the last day, and I could move into the entertainment or media or something like that. But I've chosen government, military, money, transportation, commerce, trade, business as the beginning of our study of what the seven systems may be. But imagine now you're living in a world where the Antichrist has a system, the beast has a system that he employs to ensnare the whole world, that nobody in the world can operate freely without this. Your thoughts?
I believe you're right. I believe it's called artificial intelligence. It is going to be used to control the world. It's already in process. It's already begun control. Your credit cards is just one idea. There are multitudes of ideas. As it was said the other day, you can't even go to a hotel and get a room without having your credit card. The only thing that I would argue with, and I may be absolutely wrong according to the list you have, is the armies. I don't think there will be a need for armies. And let me tell you why. Because the artificial intelligence working through the systems of this world are going to be so profound and so accurate, backed by Lucifer himself through the people in whom he's using, that in order for people to just exist, they will have to be under the control of artificial intelligence. In other words, they can't eat, they cannot live. In my way of thinking about this, it is what I am seeing as in an agreement with someone I heard say this. They won't be able to work, eat, or live, or get any medical attention whatsoever, any ability to go anywhere, unless they're under this beast control. So we, or they, forgive me, we are under the slavery of God Almighty, and we want to stay there. But they will be under another slavery, the opposite, the demonic, and they will have to be subjected to it, or they won't get to eat, they won't get a place to live, they will be under surveillance, and they will not be able to exist under those conditions. In fact, the Bible says that it'll get so nasty and so bad that they'll cry out that they want to die, and they won't be able to because of AI, new technology.
Okay, so I'm going to re-challenge you on your thoughts here, all right? Because I want to go back to Revelation 17, and it gives us a little conversation about the, and I think mildly, this is not a raw challenge. This is a, you know, just for discussion's sake, very mildly. In Revelation 17, 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. So I do believe that there will be a global military power belonging to the beast because it's going to make war with the Lamb. And that's all symbology as well. But now let me just say this. The one predominant theme that comes into my mind when I think about government, military, money, transportation, commerce, trade, business, or the other, you know, mountains that could be, you know, more valid in incorporating so much of what's going on in the world today is the United Nations. And I have to say, when I go back to Revelation chapter 13 and I read in verse 2 that the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon. Now, the dragon is very interesting here because this is the dragon that's giving what? The dragon gave the beast his power and his seat and great authority. So the dragon is now employed into this, and we know the dragon to be Satan. We know that the dragon is there. Now, in symbology, the dragon sits right now in the United Nations. And the United Nations is an attempt at global electronic connectedness, interconnectedness. There's so much going on from there. But the dragon is a symbol of China today. And we know that China has a place in the UN. And the beast, as was described in Revelation 13, gives place to some of the Middle Eastern nations, but it also incorporates Greece, you know, the leopard, if you will. And so we're talking about empires. We're talking about different places, but things are far down the road today. The United Nations seems to embrace everything. And I believe that it is out of the United Nations that the systems, government, military, money, transportation, commerce, trade, business, or whatever those, as we go, God's going to give it to us. I believe he will. Show us the exact seven mountains of power. Now, what's interesting is I want to shift, but your thoughts before I go.
My thoughts about war is that the artificial intelligence and its ways and means of direction will make war against the Lamb of God, against Christians, those that are his, simply by not allowing them to have any part of life.
They will be executed, though. There will be executioners to carry out the beheadings and so on and so forth.
There may be executioners, but we're talking about war here. And I don't think, in my way of seeing this, and I may be totally wrong, I'm seeing, watching as I'm watching, how we are beginning to be persecuted through law, to the point in which we will be so much in the way because we will not take on the mark of the beast that we will not be able to function whatsoever in that society without death.
Okay, I'm beginning to see what you're saying, because if the systems of the world are enacted and everybody is living up to them, worshiping them, there'd be no nation fighting another nation. The only kind of military force would be against those that are resisting the mark.
Now, I do believe at the end of it all, there's going to be the wrath of God, and he is going to let it rip. And how is he going to do that? Through the course of the cosmos.
All that's right.
My belief.
Well, I appreciate your intelligence, and that's why we like to have these kind of conversations going back and forth. But we do have our phone lines are lit up like crazy right now, and I want to just open that line. There's someone calling in right now, and I want to invite everybody into our conversation. We could just go on, but maybe this is a good time to pause and just, you know, reflect and say, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? How is this working? I know there's a lot of different ideas, but we're seeking together. So we're going to take our first call this morning, coming in from South Dakota. Good morning. Blessings. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. Yes, this is very good. The United Nations definitely will play a part in this. And through a teaching years ago in the 60s, which we are now entering into these things, when they taught about, this gentleman taught about the 10 horns, he said, the whole world will be divided up into 10 regions. He used the words regions. And he says, America, for our country, there will be United States, Canada, and Mexico. They will be one alliance. But the whole world, and there was no detail about the rest because he was talking about how America is going to fit into this scripture. So we're going to have, it's regions in the United Nations and the One Worlders, which you're speaking about, are doing that, and it's already coming into ploy. But my question is this. When the 10, which you just brought up, in Revelation, like you said, it's time to unfold this, and people, God has given different people understanding of this. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, we got to figure out who the whore is, which a lot of us have understanding, for God is allowing this. For God has put this in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So all this Babylonian system will be destroyed so God's kingdom can come forth. Is this correct?
Yeah, and what's interesting about your thought. your conversation is, what's interesting, if you go back to Revelation 16, Patricia finalized her comment earlier and said that the wrath of God would be poured out. Now, that's in chapter 16, the wrath of God. Revelation 13 is the wrath of the dragon. There's a confusion in people's minds here. We got to straighten it out, right? But in Revelation 16, the wrath of God is poured out, and it says that the beast and his dominion and kingdom, they gnaw their tongues. And so what begins as God pours out his wrath upon the beast kingdom is the division begins to take place. And then you see Revelation 17 and 18, that division happening where the 10 horns are now turning upon the very one, Mystery Babylon, that was writing it. And so that, again, has to be incorporated into our conversation. Excellent point. And I would further say that we have to remember that in Revelation chapter 13, that there are two beasts. The first beast is the one that we're talking about in Revelation 17 and Revelation 13. But there is a second beast in Revelation 13, and that is the religious beast. Now, that, and Patricia, you have a revelation on the mystery Babylon, what you believe that is, and I want you to share that in just a moment. But there, we have to remember that the governmental and religious beast work together. For example, in World War II, when Nazi Germany was in power, there you had your governmental political power with military power, et cetera, et cetera. But you also had many in the Catholic Church that were backing it. So the religious was connected with the political, and they worked together. And these two beasts in the last days, whether it's going to be a one world religion where you're not allowed to be a Christian, you're not allowed to put any other religion down, all religions lead to God, everybody has a right to be spiritual how they want to be, New Age, metaphysical, whatever the case is, but there will not be the allowance of the Christian to be a Christian, which a Christian is called to go and be salt and light to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth and tell the world, without salvation in Jesus Christ, there is no going to heaven. There is no kingdom of God. So the religion and the political are coming together. Your thoughts, Patricia?
Yes, the woman, the harlot, it was asked about her, the harlot riding the beast. She's riding a beast system. And who is that harlot? I looked it up. And I was absolutely amazed at what it said. It said, the translation in the Greek of the harlots is secret societies. And if we would look at this moment, the idea of secret societies, we would see these secret societies as the very individuals that are involved in leadership of the one world order, being bankers, CIA, being any other kind of status. And now these secret societies are of the one world order, and they are thrusting this forward because Lucifer is their god. Now she is writing this system. She is part of secret societies. She is part of one world order. And when I think about who they are, I am going to express my heart and tell you that they are the leftists, the Democrats, and those that are riding the beast system of what we do not want to tolerate. And they are changing laws into laws that are of this nature, beastly, ugly, and they are demonic, but behind it is Lucifer, and he is the head of all these secret societies, and you know the names of most of them. They have been told over and over again, and we do understand that they have been involved in their trickery for ages, these societies. And most of our presidents have been involved with it, if not all, one time or another, but I think most. And the CIA has been involved with it. The FBI has been involved with it for those who were wanting to. Republicans are involved with it. Democrats are involved with it. And they are involved with these secret societies. And you know who they are. I'm pretty sure you do. All of you do that are listening. And if you don't, just look up secret societies and you'll find out who they are. I don't want to mention it at this point. But I tell you this, they are in bed with them. And because they are in bed with them, they are whores. And they are, I believe, of the democratic left-wing socialist communist groupings. And I believe that's where communists did come from in the first place.
Okay, so that is an excellent point. Let me just ask Kathy if she kind of is resonating with that thought real quick. Kathy, are you okay with that for the moment? Do you have anything else to add?
Well, that was a great explanation of that, how that is all intertwined in together. But now this one other scripture here is going to carry on, and that's also in Revelation 18. And after this is come into ploy throughout the world, it says, and then John says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So God will have a remnant right up to the end, correct?
Yeah, and he's going to judge mystery. There's no doubt about it. And you know, we are kind of in the end right now, and it's pretty amazing what's going on around us and about us. Kathy, hold on for 1 second. We've got another call coming in. This is Brother Bill, I believe, calling in from somewhere in the world. Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Good morning, pastors. The secret societies, I believe Pastor Pat did an excellent job there. I don't have a problem naming them. The Illuminati, the Freemasons, the CFR, some of the alphabet agencies. But what I'd also like to say is, and I know some personally, how many pastors that are pastoring these churches across America are involved in whether it's a Klan or whether it's the Freemasons or different societies like that, and even a lot of your lower level societies, you know, your different lodges and stuff that they have. Anytime you have that's totally opposite of what God calls for. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, thank you. Yeah, very good complimentary thoughts here. I want to throw something out and give an example to our listeners of how this is working. It's already here in many ways, but I want to give you I have a very strong and firm belief and have held it for years, and I'm willing to let it go for a more intrinsic revelation or understanding. We are teachable, okay? But I've always maintained that the nation of Islam, the caliphate, the Mahdi, that there would be a very powerful move at the end times, because at the very beginning of time with the Abrahamic covenant, the firstborn son of Abraham was Ishmael. And we know that he became a great nation, and we know that God has used him throughout time to bring judgment around the world. Okay. So for example, today in just one article about the social system of Islam, and here's how the article begins from Muslims themselves. The foundations, plural, the foundations, like the kingdom of God in Revelation 21 has 12 foundations. Well, this begins with the foundations of the social system of Islam rest on the belief that we are all equal and constitute one single fraternity. All right, this is from their own mouths. An Islamic society is the society whose members have imam, or faith, in Islam, apply its laws in their life and performing religious duties and abstaining from doing what is unlawful. So what is unlawful according to Islam? In a true Islamic society, drinking of alcohol, injustice, giving or taking bribes, practicing usury, dressing immodestly, deceiving each other, violating other rights, and all are all avoided and prohibited. A society cannot be considered an Islamic society if the people discard Islam and commit unlawful acts publicly without the slightest feeling of shame. What matters is the lifestyle and system they adopt, not the name they call it. Some principles of social system in Islam. The social system in Islam is based on creating a strong bond and learn how to live together as a good Muslim. And they include, and here's what's interesting. Here's the five systems they talk about immediately. Faithfulness, respect the rights of others. Islamic society is built on justice and mutual kindness. It's there to create a strong bond and cooperation and keeping good morals. Okay, my point is, in this very simple, tiny thing, Islam, in a type and shadow, if you will, is representative of having all the different aspects of the beast, the religious component, the governmental component, Sharia law, and control, you know, through their government controlling the sources and the systems that would dominate the whole world. Now, we know that Islam is a very biblical reality, and so we are here to discover once again this beast. Because he's going to have a mark, right? The Mark of the Beast. The number to call, 818-369-0326. If you're listening in right now, press 1 on the dial pad. We would love to hear your thoughts about this conversation. Patricia Joy.
Yes, getting back to what we were speaking of regarding the ones who want to execute vengeance upon Christians. These anti-Christian monarchies have executed their purpose, and they're coming against us, and they have chosen to do that because of the Luciferian desire to make the world his. Well, it's already been given to him, but we're standing in the way, aren't we? And that's why I think it's imperative, absolutely imperative, that we find ourselves in a position of sonship with God. Because the scripture tells us in Luke 20:36, for they cannot even die anymore because they are like angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Do you realize that we're coming to that place that if we choose the life of Christ and become sons of God, we will have a victory like we could never imagine? But this is the work that we're called to. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So my feeling about this whole thing is, let's get on the truth of what is needed at the moment.
And you bring up the victory over the beast is recorded in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 15. Those who got the victory over the beast did not receive the mark of the beast. But you said something, and I think we need to start winding down with this thought. And we're going to pick this up as we go through the week. We're just beginning our mining, folks. We're just getting our shovels out. We're getting our lamps, and we're going to start digging into this issue. I believe God wants it to be done. And there's already been a lot of, you know, pre-work that's gone on out there, but there's an intended revelation that God wants to give to the seekers of God in this hour to understand these things. Now, Patricia just said something. We are standing in the way of something. Do you remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the whole talk about the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that he is going to come on the world stage? But before he comes, there's something that's holding him back. And now remember that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 beast is the little horn. It is the man of sin. It is Lucifer, the head of this entire beast system, I believe. This man of sin, the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians, is being resisted. Something's holding it back. A lot of people say it's the church. A lot of people say it's the Holy Spirit. What if the United States of America, in its Christian form, its power, its authority, its morality that it once possessed, has been the restrainer nation, along with maybe a few others that are Christianized nations in times past? They have been restrainer nations and have been holding back this beast. You say, well, nothing could hold the beast back. Yes, the Christian can, a Christian nation could, because of the power of heaven. But now that we are sinking into immorality and we are being filled with corruption and we are fallen from the Lord, it's much easier now for the adversary to employ powers to remove this nation, to get it out of the way as a restrainer nation. In other words, crush it, break it, get it out of the way. Then this full weight of the Antichrist kingdom upon this earth would come. Your thoughts, Patricia?
Well, absolutely right on, because the word says that he that is taken up, I believe we were the only ones standing in the way. We were the last bastion on earth holding on to the Christian truth, the way of Christ and Christ alone. So it's being now inundated by these evil spirits, and they're finding their strength to do so because the church has not become the sons of God that they should have become in the first place. But there's still time here. And I want to just say that nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. become a son of God. Today is your opportunity.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Way to wrap things up. And yes, where the church has failed to produce sons, the wilderness during 3.5 years of great tribulation is probably going to be the way that that is accomplished. And yet sons are being brought forth even in this hour. Listen, we've just begun the journey. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. Our dear friend Daniel Seckham from Australia. I'm going to pick his brain about these things as well. Patricia and I want to bid you a fair day. God bless you. Keep your head in the heavens. Keep your heart on Christ. Walk with confidence and boldness through this earth. You know something that the rest of the world is blinded to. Wake somebody up. Tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. I've been joined once again with my beloved wife, best friend in the world, Patricia Joy Xavier. We'll see you Thursday together, and I'll see you tomorrow. Make sure right now there's an amazing roundtable discussion going on at omegaradio.org. That's our 24/7 radio station. It's the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org. You're going to get wise if you listen to this broadcast coming up right now. Until we meet again, shalom and God bless you.